This passage of Scripture that was read to us this evening records for us the reigns of four kings of Judah at a time when this kingdom was in a downward spiral. This chapter records the last days of the kingdom of Judah. And these particular kings did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Our attention tonight has already been directed towards King Zedekiah, or Mattaniah, as he is called over in 2 Kings chapter 24. He failed to humble himself before the God of heaven, and he marched in his sin towards the judgment of God. Of course, the Lord, in his grace and in his mercy, gave warnings to this man, and he warned him of his sin. And he warned him of the judgment that he would send upon him and upon the nation of Judah because of their sin. In Ezekiel chapter 17 and the verse 16, we read the words of the Lord, "As I live, saith the Lord God, surely in the place where the king dwelleth that made him king, whose oath he despised and whose covenant he brake, even with him, in the midst of Babylon, he shall die." Nebuchadnezzar, as we've read, made Zedekiah king. Zedekiah broke the oath that he had made concerning Nebuchadnezzar, and he would die in Babylon. In Ezekiel 12, verse 13, the word of God also says, "My net also will I spread before him, and he shall be taken in my snare. And I will bring him to Babylon, to the land of the Chaldeans." Notice this. "Yet shall he not see it, though he shall die there." Yet he shall not see it. Yet he shall die there. Perhaps Zedekiah viewed that prophecy as a contradiction on behalf of the Lord. How could both be true? How could he die in the land of Babylon, but not see it? How could he die in a land which he would not see? How could they both come to pass? In the mind of man, it was impossible. In the mind, perhaps, of this king, it was not to be. God had forewarned judgment upon sin. And yet, to the mind of man, there seemed to be a contradiction in this judgment, something that could not happen. He would die in a land that he would not see. Oh, how men in this day and generation try to point out supposed contradictions in the Word of God. They consider the judgment, and they consider salvation, and they try and find those contradictions that prove that the Scriptures are a lie, the Scriptures are a falsehood, and that these things are not true. They try to grasp out at things that try and dismiss the authority that God has placed upon His precious Word. There are many that say, "How can a loving God, how can a kind God, how can a merciful God send sinners, send men, send women to hell forever?" They say that sending sinners to hell contradicts God's love, contradicts God's mercy, contradicts the grace of God. But when we consider God's attributes, and we consider His holiness, and we consider His justice, we see that these attributes are found in the righteous judgment of God upon the sinner. The sentence of hell for all eternity is upon the sinner from a God who must punish sin. But in His grace and in His love, He sent His Son to be the Savior of this world, the Savior of sinners. But what of His holiness? What of His justice? Well, His justice must be met. In Christ, upon the cross of Calvary, bearing our sin, bearing our shame, or upon the sinner in God's hell forever. forever. All the attributes of God, all His characteristics work together in perfect harmony in His gospel. We ought never to forget that. There are no contradictions in the person of God. There are no contradictions in His word. And as Zedekiah saw, he rejected the message of the prophet, but he faced the judgment of his sin. It may have appeared to be a contradiction, but it was an absolute certainty that he would face the judgment of God. We read in the verse 16 concerning God that he arose against his till there was no more remedy. Till there was no more remedy. God came in judgment. In 2 Kings 25 verse 7 we read the words, and they slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, and put out the eyes of Zedekiah, and bound him with fetters of brass, and carried him to Babylon. He arrived in Babylon. He arrived in the land of Nebuchadnezzar, but he could not see it, for his eyes had been put out. The prophecy of Ezekiel had come to pass. God's judgment is certain. It is certain. He does not contradict himself. His judgment is certain. With these things in mind, I want us to consider this evening Zedekiah's sin, the cause of his judgment. Zedekiah's sin, the cause of his judgment. And firstly, I want you to notice the individuality of his sin. The individuality of his sin. Notice the commencement here of the verse 12. The word of God says, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God. He did that which was evil. Zedekiah did that which was evil. Zedekiah sinned against the God of heaven. His actions brought desolation upon the land. His actions brought the wrath of God crashing down upon his head. It was his actions. It was his sin that caused this judgment. Yes, we read of his predecessors upon the throne of Judah, and especially in this chapter, of how they sinned against God, yet he was judged individually for the sin that he committed. He had to give an account of his own personal sin. He had his own sin. He had his own sinful record before the Lord, and so do we. We are all sinners. For we all come from Adam. But we have that sin of our own. We have broken the commandments of God. It says that this king did evil in the sight of the Lord his God. And we as sinners have done evil in the sight of the Lord. We have sinned against him. This sin was his own personal sin. If we turn, please, to Ezekiel chapter 18. Ezekiel chapter 18 and the verse 2. We have recorded for us what is called the parable of the sour grapes. And in that verse, and the parable specifically, it says, the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. The fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. And the Lord goes on to command that this parable is no longer used in Israel. Why? Because the people were using it to promote the falsehood that they were being judged, not for their sin, but for the sin of their fathers, for the sin of those who came before them in the land. In Jeremiah 31 and the verse 29, it says, in those days they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten a sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge. Notice what it says in the verse 30. But every one shall die for his own iniquity. Every man that eateth the sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge. Zedekiah partook of the sour grape. He partook of sin. He partook of evil and wickedness. And his teeth were set on edge. They were set on edge. In Romans 14 verse 12, it reads, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. We all have to give an account to God. An account must be made by us because of the individuality of our sin. We are accountable to the sins that we have engaged in. Zedekiah did not have to give an account of his father's sin. He did not have to give an account of the sins of those kings that came before him. He had to give an account of himself. Tonight, you don't have to give an account of your father's sin, of your mother's sin, of your children's sin, the sins of your friends, but of your sin. You must give an account of your sin. You are accountable before God to your sin. You do not have to give an account of the sins of the people that were under him. Yes, he certainly influenced them as the king, but they were responsible for their sin. He was responsible for his. And he had to give that account. In 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10 it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." We must appear before the judgment seat to be judged of those things done by ourselves. By ourselves. And sinner, tonight, on that day, your sin will be shown openly before you. It will be examined. It will be made manifest for all to see. Your entire life of sin will be examined and shown openly. It cannot and it will not be hid from the God of heaven. You are accountable for your sin, those sins that were committed by you this week, perhaps even this day. You are accountable for before God. You've broken his law. You sin greatly against his name. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not one of us has perfectly kept God's law. We've all sinned and we are accountable for our sin. If we come back to Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20, the phrase is given. It's a simple phrase, but there's a great and terrible truth attached to it. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And Zedekiah's judgment was caused by his own personal sin. And tonight, if you know not Christ as Savior, your judgment comes because of your own personal sin. Your own acts of rebellion against the commandments of God. Your sin will be judged before the Lord. There are no buts and there are no maybes. For if you continue in sin, you will be judged for it. Your soul will die. Zedekiah did not turn from his sin. Did not repent from his sin. He continued on in it. And we see, secondly, here the increase of his sin. The increase of his sin. This king did evil in the sight of God. He was a young king. He was 21 years of age. He was not the youngest king in Judah, of course, but he was still a king that was in his youth. But he still sinned against the God of heaven. He failed to humble himself before the message of the Lord. But we also see in the verse 13 that he rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar. He rebelled against the king of Babylon. Now it takes a brave and courageous man to rebel against somebody like Nebuchadnezzar. If you read the scriptures or even the accounts of secular history, you'll find that Nebuchadnezzar was not one to rebel against. His city was one of the greatest cities of the ancient world. His army was the greatest in the ancient world at this time. You don't rebel against somebody with that power and with that authority. But this is exactly what Zedekiah did. If we turn to 2 Kings chapter 25. 2 Kings chapter 25 and the verse 17. We read the words, "And the king of Babylon made Mattaniah, his father's brother, king in his stead, and changed his name to Zedekiah." King of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar made this man king of Judah. The name Mattaniah means gift of the Lord. Gift of the Lord. What a name that is. Children, of course, are a gift from the Lord. And this king had in his original name that truth stamped upon it, that he was a gift from the Lord. But his name was changed. It was changed to Zedekiah. It means the justice of the Lord. So in his sin, he had a name that reminded him of the justice of the Lord. We read in verse 13 of 2 Chronicles 36, that he made an oath to Nebuchadnezzar. His name as well, Zedekiah, reminds us, reminds him, that he was appointed by Nebuchadnezzar. His kingship, his throne was there because of Nebuchadnezzar. He gave him the throne. His name reminded him of the allegiance that he ought to pay to the king of Babylon, yet he rebelled against him. The Babylonians were the vessels used by God, appointed by the Lord to oppress his people because of their sin in the days of Jehoiakim. But this nation continued in its sin to the days of Zedekiah. Zedekiah was ungrateful to his benefactor. He sought to obtain help from Egypt. You can read this in Ezekiel chapter 17. We won't turn to it for time. But in those verses of that chapter, we read that he turned to Egypt for help and for aid, for military help in standing against the king of Babylon. He turned to that which represents the world. Instead of turning to the God of heaven, he turned to the things of this world. He turned to that which represents the world. And tonight, sinner, in rebellion against the Lord, do you not turn to the things of this world? The pleasures of the flesh for the satisfaction that you think that they can give to your soul. You turn to the world for the help that you think it can give. The comfort that you think you can obtain for your soul. You think you can have that consolation in life from the things of the world. You're mistaken. The pleasures of this world last just for a season. Fellowship with the Lord, salvation lasts for all time. It lasts for all eternity. Things of this world are passing away. But salvation, your justification, your reliance upon the Lord Jesus Christ as your rock, as your surety, lasts forever. How true that is. We can rejoice. We have a Savior in Christ. But he turned to the things of this world. He was engaged in idolatry as well. We see this in verse 14. Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen and polluted the house of the Lord which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. They forsook the pure worship of God. They turned away from that which God had commanded them to do. They turned to the abominations of the heathen once again. And they polluted the temple of the Lord. How sad that was. The temple that God had commanded would be erected for his worship was polluted by the things of this world. It was polluted by the worship of gods that were false. Gods that came from the imaginations of men. the house of God was polluted. It was an offense to God. There were religious figures here in the temple. It was their duty to stand for pure worship. It was their responsibility to stand against the things of false worship. Yet here they are, in the center of it, engaging in that which God had forbidden. And they were led by the King of Israel. He influenced these men. His sin influenced these men. And his sin got worse and worse, till God said in verse 16, there was no remedy. No remedy. Your sin, friend, how? Doesn't matter how you try to curb it. Doesn't matter how you try and pick and choose the sins that you engage in. They will increase. They will increase. You may say tonight, concerning specific sins, well, those are sins I'll never engage in. Those are sins that I despise and avoid. Yet, in the future, they could be sins that you engage in. There are sins today that perhaps you once despised. Sins that you thought you would never be a participant. Yet today, those are sins that are found at your door. Sin increases. And like that snowball, sin will get bigger and bigger and bigger till there is no stopping it. Till there is no more remedy. There will come a point in your life when God's wrath against your soul will come crashing down, and that will be the truth. No more remedy. No more remedy. How sad it would be if there's one here. Do you know of the gospel message yet? It could be said of you in future days, your name and no more remedy. God has spoken. God has had those messages to your soul over many years. But now, it's too late. There's no more remedy. Missed opportunities to get right with God. This man had opportunities, yet he despised them all. Notice, finally here, the insubordination in his sin. The insubordination in his sin. He dismissed and despised the authority of God. He despised God's authority. The attributes of God are all displayed here in this passage. We have his justice. We have his holiness. But we also have his love, his grace, his compassion. For in verse 12, he sent a prophet to go in his name to speak to the king. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. This king had a responsibility. There was an expectation placed upon him, and that was to listen to the word of God. He was expected to hearken unto the voice of the prophet. He was a king, the highest man in the realm, yet he was expected to bend the knee before the God of heaven. Men today, they try and promote their lies and their falsehood. They try and proclaim the view that we are on an equal level with God. Man is on a level with the God of heaven. They may go and they may say that men are above even the scriptures. Men have the right to decide what is contained in the Bible. But if you read the scriptures, you'll find that men are not above God. The men are not above His word. He is the one that places those in authority. He is the one who penned the scriptures of truth. We are under him. He is the creator. We or the creature. Men do not want to be under authority, under those who have the power to instruct and to discipline. And even today in daily life, I'm sure that that is visible to you. Men do not want to be told what to do. Men do not want to be told that they are wrong. And it's evident in secular society. But here, in the spiritual realm, men do not want to be told that they are under a God who will judge for sin. There is that expectation then of listening to the word of God. The king was the representative of those who were under him. It was his responsibility to hear what God would say to him. We have a responsibility upon us to listen to the word of God. And tonight, whether you're a sinner, whether you're a saint of God, there is that solemn duty placed upon you to listen to what God has to say to your soul. This man had no time for the word of God. He refused to bend the knee. That's what that word humble can mean. To bend the knee. He did not bend the knee, not to a man, not to Jeremiah, but the Lord himself. Jeremiah was speaking on behalf of the God of heaven. He had the words of God in his mouth. He was speaking as the mouth of the Lord. God put the message in the mouth of the prophet. And Jeremiah specifically, we can read that in Jeremiah 1 in the verses 9 and 10. God gave the message to the prophet. He gave a message for him to plant and to root up and to destroy. But it was a message of compassion. He brought a message of judgment to Zedekiah. A message concerning his sin. And tonight, there's a message concerning your sin and your coming judgment. You may say, that's a terrible message. How can a human being, tell me that if I continue in the way I'm going, I'll burn in God's hell forever? Where's the love and where's the compassion in that? When we consider the word of God and the warnings that God gives, warnings of sin, warnings of hell, they're all wrapped in the love and the grace and the compassion of God. God is not obliged to warn you of sin. God is not obliged to present to you the way of salvation, but it's done out of love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And sinner, when you hear of your sin and your iniquity, it comes with the compassion, with the love of God stamped upon it. He has provided that way of salvation. He has brought you to a place where the gospel is preached, a place where you can hear the word of God. But yet, perhaps you think that you can leave this place. When you leave this place in a few moments' time, you can go home. You won't have to think about the gospel message until perhaps this time next week. Well, God has given you a privilege to be here. In his grace, he's permitted you to hear the gospel once more. But when you're at home tonight, when you're perhaps at work tomorrow, that is a privilege from the Lord. Another day, another opportunity to turn to Christ. This meeting will soon be over. And if you leave in your sin and you're found by God's grace at work tomorrow or at school or wherever you may be, that's the mercy of God. Remember that. Perhaps if you think tomorrow back to this meeting, remember that the very fact that you're alive thinking about what happened here tonight is a mercy of God, an opportunity to repent, a mercy, an opportunity that one day you may never have again. The message came to this man. He rejected the message. We read in the verse 16 that there were other messengers. They were despised. And God's wrath arose against him. His sin had consequences. He was judged. The people were judged. In verse 17, we read that the young men were slain by the enemy. There was no compassion upon the young man or maiden or old man, or him that stooped for age. They were all given into the hand of the enemy. And when the judgment of God comes, it does not matter who you are. Young person, older person, male, female, God's judgment is just. God's judgment is sure. And if you're in your sin, you will face his wrath. The king faced his wrath. His sons were put to death by the enemy. And he himself was carried into captivity. He lost his throne. He lost his nation. He lost his family, those things that were most precious to him. The day will come. If you leave this place, if you go out in your sin, the day will come when God's judgment will crash down upon you. Your sin has consequences. Consequences you may try to avoid, but consequences that are absolutely certain. Consequences that can be changed, avoided. If you come to Calvary, if you trust in Christ, who through his blood can cleanse away each stain. May you come tonight. May you hearken unto the word of God. And may you trust in him for salvation. Amen. May the Lord bless his word for his name's sake.